this next issue.
You're fine.
So the parsha starts with Hashem telling Avram, "Lech lecha me'aretz avraham u'mo'ad." So the parsha already begins with Hashem having made the choice, having selected Avram for his special role of being the founder of Klal Yisrael. Lech lecha me'aretzach has already tell him to go to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to establish a new nation of Klal Yisrael. Now, the Parsha seems to jump in as far as Hashem's relationship with Avram seems to jump in the middle of the picture. Because Pashtus, we understand that why was Avram chosen for this special mission of what? Because Avram had already been the one to recognize the Borei Olam, the one who looked around him and saw nature, understood philosophy, was able to extrapolate the existence of a creator, and therefore began trying to spread his understanding of the obligation to serve Hashem, to give kavod to Hashem. He started trying to spread that in the world. He already had been moser nefesh for this when he was thrown into the fire at Or Kasdim, right? And therefore, there seems to be a lot of very important background that goes into the selection of Avram as the founder of Klal Yisrael. So the Maharal asks, why does the Torah leave that all out? Why does the Torah jump right in with Lech Lecha and not give us all the background that explains to us what Avram did to deserve this special relationship that he was interacting with Hashem? So the Maharal explains, he has different nuskhos in a couple of different places, but the Yesodi says is that the Torah didn't want to give the impression that Avram was selected to be the founder of Klal Yisrael because of any particular zchus that he had from his actions. Because if there would be an implication that the selection of Avram was based on a particular zchus, so then there's always the danger that that zchus can run out and that chas v'shalom, then Klal Yisrael would no longer be the special selected nation of Hashem, because it was all founded based on some particular zchus. So therefore, the Maharal explains, the Torah, even though Be'emes, Avram did do very special things to make him stand out and deserve to be selected, but the Torah doesn't want to give the impression that it was based on any particular thing, because the Torah wants us to understand that the relationship between Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Memela, the descendants of Avram, Klal Yisrael, that relationship that was established is a relationship, the Maharal calls it, that he was chosen be'etzem, that he was chosen because of his essence and not because of any particular zchus. Okay? It follows from this that Tosfos explains that the Gemara says that the zchus avos has already run out in the times of the Galus, that we've already ran out of zchus avos. So Tosfos explains that there's something called bris avos, that there's a covenant, there's a relationship that was established with the avos that doesn't depend on zchus. It's a fundamental relationship, and it's not based on, it's not a question of how many points of zchus that Avram put lots of points in Klal Yisrael's bank account, and therefore, even if we do averus, we were protected by his zchus. That would have some limitations. That wouldn't be endless. But the relationship of the bechira of Avram and Klal Yisrael has to be based on a bris, on a covenant, a commitment that isn't dependent on anything. So that's the yesod of the parsha, is the bechira of Avram as a bechira be'etzem. Okay, that's why already in Avram's own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Melchama, Hashem tells Avram, Anochi Magen Lach, that you don't have to worry about using up your zchuyot, because I'm a Magen. Chazal explained that a muggin is a shield. That a shield is something that's reusable. A shield never runs out. You know, it's not a one-time use. Yeah, Anochi Magen Lach. I'm your magen. I'm your protector. That we have a relationship here that doesn't depend on schus. It's a relationship to Adam that I'm always here for you, and therefore for your descendants. And that's why, right, not being marich on this Indian right now, but that's why the bracha of Avos Magen Avram that applies to all of Klal Yisrael, because Avram established this relationship with Hashem of magen that. Hashem provides a constant protection in a way that doesn't depend on any particular zchus, and therefore is it has no limitations. Now, the Beis HaLevi develops this idea in a few different contexts. There are three separate pieces of the Beis HaLevi that I feel are all very closely interconnected, and I want to try to put together this whole mahalach. Okay? In the parsha of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. So the Bris Bein HaBesarim starts with Hashem being Matiach Avram that he's going to have descendants. Right? At that time he didn't yet have his own descendants. And then further, Hashem is Matiach him the land of Eretz Yisrael. And when Hashem is Matiach the land of Eretz Yisrael, Avram responds, Vayomer, Adonai Elohim, b'mai daki Hashem. Okay, so as opposed to the first haptacha, dafka, it says that he v'hamin b'Hashem v'yachshav Elohim tzedaka. The first one, he had emuna, but now he questioned. The second haptacha of Eretz Yisrael, he questioned. So, and based on that, the reaction to that was the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which ends off with the declaration of The Gzeirah of Golus of Mitzrayim was a chilek of this Bris Bein HaBesarim. So what does it mean if the Torah was just being mashabeach Avram's emuna in Hakadosh Baruch Hu's haftacha? So why then would Gabi the haftacha of the Aretz? Does he all of a sudden have some hesitation? B'mayda.
It's a misleading decision.
Yeah. So the Radak already points this out, and the Radak explains that his suffix was that maybe my descendants won't have a schus to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe there will be a generation that will be poshea, and that they won't they'll be kicked out. They won't have a schus to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Beis HaLevi takes that mahalach. And he explains the hemshek of the psukim based on that mahalach. He says that the whole chash was shema yigrom echid. He didn't have any suffix in Hashem's haftacha. His suffix was whether his descendants would be ra'oi indefinitely over the course of time. Will they always be ra'oi for the maila of the schus of Eretz Yisrael?
Which pasuk was that?
It's the parsha of Bris Bein HaBesarim is. Tesvav, starting from Pasuk Zayin.
So, the first in there was it. So, where did Avram say that on?
Which? B'Maida? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say it's all in this part. Mm-hmm. So the Beis HaLevi explains that what was the response to B'Maida? The response, there was a bris that went on. It's a separate discussion exactly what it means to divide the animals and go between them. Rashi says that's the derech of making a bris between two people. That's a way of making a permanent binding commitment. But specifically, the Beis HaLevi explains that the answer to the question really lies in Vayomer Avram Yadoa Teda Ki Geri Azaracha. That Davka, the Golus of Mitzrayim, is the Havtacha that Klal Yisrael in the end will always be Zakai. Because what Hashem was telling him was that the relationship with Klal Yisrael is going to be different than the other Goyim. The other Goyim are given a certain Madrega, whatever it is, they're given a land to live in, they're given a nation, and they're given up until a certain amount of averas, that there comes a point where Hashem has had enough of them, and he says, that's it, you lost your sluskium, I'm wiping you out, destroying, right, all the nations that have come and gone throughout history, that there comes a point where Hashem says, you no longer have a sluskium, it's time to get rid of this nation. But Klal Yisrael, Hashem's relationship is different. With Klal Yisrael, Hashem's relationship is that whenever there's any pagam in the relationship, that Hashem immediately gives an onesh, and that onesh, we'll see, pushes Klal Yisrael back onto the right track. I'll just read a line of the Beis Levi. He says, Amar lo, hanhaga chadasha yisnag in Yisrael, shelo kamo shenoeg ima kanani, demarich shavash ma'ach temali sadam, ba'afaka ma'ad. And the Canaanim, they live peacefully up until a certain point, and then that's it. They pass the red line of Averis, they get wiped out. Rather, Rakya Nisham Begalus Vishivur Al Khatan. Take F Kadesh Lubisoftis Kaim Abtafa. Okay? And then he points out that this reference to Galus is not just Galus Mitzrayim, that it's a reference throughout history, the Medrash. In the beginning, when it begins the Bris Minim Sarim, it says, "Vine Ema Chashecha Gedola Nofelas Alav." Okay, so this experience, Ema Chashecha Gedola Nofelas Alav, those four terms, Ema Chashecha Gedola and Nofelas, those four terms are references. The Medrash says to the four Galus. Okay, so it's not Davka. Galus Mitzrayim, that was the first in the series, but that was the beginning of Anhaga that says that the Anhaga with Klal Yisrael is going to be that as soon as there's an Avera, there's going to be an Onesh, and that Onesh is going to keep Klal Yisrael in line, that they're never going to fall to the point where they lose the relationship with Hashem. Exactly. That's what we're saying. Is that Hanhaga is Mavtiach, the Hemshech of Israel, forever. That Avram's chash was maybe this new nation that we're establishing of Klal Yisrael is not going to have a commitment to a permanent relationship because of their own fault. Not because of any doubt of Hashem's commitment, but perhaps they won't have the zchus to continue that relationship. So that Hashem explains that davka through the anhaga of being ma'anish Klal Yisrael, that is davka the way that Hashem maintains the relationship. The davka, the onesh, is what sets Yisrael straight, Klal Yisrael straight, to get them back on the path, to get them to do tshuva and connect to Hashem, so that the relationship will remain. Now, the Beis Halevi on the beginning of Parshas Vayetze explains the same idea. He says that the Medrash, when it says in Vayetze Yaakov Miber Sheva, Vayela Charana. He went away out of Beersheba, and he went, which is near Eretz Yisrael, to Chutzvaretz, to Charan. So, first basically, he makes a drasha that Yaakov Avinu, it says, Vayetze, Vayelech, to show that his kavana was both the leaving Eretz Yisrael and also the going to Charan. He explains, based on the tzivoy of Yitzchak and Rivka, that each one gave a different tzivoy. So one was to leave, and one was to go to Haran. That's not the discussion. But then he explains that the Medrash says that this is a ma'isa avos sim ulabanim for Klal Yisrael in the future. That when Klal Yisrael is sent into Galus, that it has the same two components. He says that when Klal Yisrael goes into Galus, it has the same aspect of Vayetze, that we need to go out of Eretz Yisrael, and we need to dafka go to Haran. And he says, Haran is a lashon of Haron Af, to a place of suffering, a place of Hashem's anger. So he says that, first of all, Klal Yisrael, when they're poshea, they don't have a schus to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Adarab, if they would stay in Eretz Yisrael and continue in their negative ways, the onesh would be even more severe, and therefore they have to leave Eretz Yisrael so that their averos aren't as don't have as dramatic an impact. And also, they need to go to a place of charonach, meaning that Hashem bedavka is causing them suffering in galus, and that suffering is meant to be matzer them b'tshuva. That it's not. It's exactly this new point. If it was just vayetzei, if Klal Yisrael going to galus was just an inyan vayetzei, that would imply that there's no kpeda of what happens to them in galus. Charon af. Is they're going to a place of charon af where they're going to continue suffering. Okay, so
charon af means anger, right?
Yeah.
So who's going to be angry?
That Hashem's anger is going to continue to have an impact through the suffering in Golis. Okay, so one second, let me just read you the pasuk that he bases this on. One second. Yeah. Yeah, okay, so it says like this. Gemara and Chagiga says, De'achdi le'ahut tzeduki le'rabi, I'm not sure, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanina, Amma da'adrinu mari la'anpe, mine. Okay, so a goy was arguing that tzeduki was, tzeduki, somebody who didn't hold of the Mesoros of Klal Yisrael, was arguing with the Chachamim saying, that you're a nation that's been rejected. That after Klal Yisrael was sent into Golus, Hashem broke his relationship with you. Hashem has rejected you. So Achdilei, the Gemara says, he showed him, Od Yado Natuya Aleinu. He showed him the puzzle that says his hand is still outstretched against us. So the Beis Halevi points out that the Marsha asks, but wait a second, that pasuk Od Yado Natuya, it sounds like a very nice thing. He's like, he has his arm around us. He says, no, that pasuk Od Yado Natuya is a lashon of charonach, that Hashem is still beating us up even when we're in galus. Okay, so the Marsha asked, what kind of nechama is that? The goyim say, you were thrown into galus, you were rejected. He says, no, Hashem's still beating us up. Okay, so the Beis Halevi explains. He says that's good for the point. He says if Hashem would send us into galus and then not care what happens to us, that would be the end of the relationship. But dafka, the fact that he continues to give us onshim and continues to cause us to suffer under the goyim and galus, that shows that there's still a relationship. That shows that Hashem still cares what happens to us and is still trying to point us in the direction of doing tshuva and coming back.
Why does the Sadduki say that? I mean, Sadduki can believe in Torah Shabbat itself.
Okay, we don't have to disagree. Okay, that was kind of stupid. We don't know what the Sadduki's philosophy was. Okay, so now we have an amazing tie-in to Mamish the Sugi that we just learned. Okay, the Beis Halevi points out an amazing thing. Okay, now you have to put on your Bava Kamli thinking caps. Okay. We just had the din of Rava of Zara Kli Mirosh Agag, right? So by Zara Kli Mirosh Agag, there's a Rashi that we just had, Chavavam Beis, right? That Rashi says that it was the owner that threw it. Rashi seems to be Medayik, he's trying to be Miyashiv, why they're both Padre, right? Since Rava says Basar Mikara, so the guy who broke it with the bat, right? He threw it off, the owner threw it from the roof. Before it smashed, the guy came with a bat and broke it. So Rashi says, so the Gemara says that the one who broke it is Pater because we go Basar Mikar, it's as if it was already broken. So Rashi seems to be Medayik, so but the Lashon Pater is Mashma that everyone's Pater, that nobody pays. So why doesn't the Zorik pay if we go Basar Mikara? So Rashi makes a new Kimta the guy himself, the owner threw it, and therefore there's no one to be Makai. Okay? Comes along the Rush and asks the Kasha. The Rush asks that if the owner himself threw it, it's an Aveda Midas. It's Kiilu, he was Mafkir, right? So if somebody was Mafkir something, so then it doesn't matter whether Basar Mikar or Basar Besok, that's not the point, it's already Hefker. So why do you need how do you have the Chiddush of Rabba that he holds Basar Mikar? We should say that if the owner threw it, so it's an Aveda Midas, it's Hefker. Okay, so the Beis Halevi comes and says a beautiful shot to answer Rashi and to be Mashiv his whole mouth. He says
what's wrong with being Hefker?
So why then? How can the Gemara prove that we go Basar Mikara and his Gila is broken? Just say the owner is Mafkir. So he says, no, he says, if a person takes his kli and leaves it and drops it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's Aveda Midas. That shows he doesn't care about it. He has no interest. He's given up any connection to that Chavetz. But if he throws it from the Rosh Hagag, he wants to see it smash. He still has a relationship with it. He doesn't stop Mothgar. He wants to take his kli and he wants to smash it. There's still a connection. Okay? Now, anytime I read this basically, whatever, when I learned it originally, it struck me, probably no one in this room is going to have any idea what I'm talking about, but when I was a kid, there was a show that they had this like regular feature that they would tape things to the top of a tall building and throw them down and just watch them smash. They would like take a watermelon or a big bag of flour. Okay. Anyway, good. Nobody's identified. Okay. So that is the yisod of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says there's a difference between saying I don't care what happens to it and saying I want to see it smash. Okay. Now here there's more of an amkus. It's not just
seeing it smash.
What?
You took away that nub and seeing it smash.
Right, exactly. So, but here's basically adding another nikud. It's saying that I don't want to cause Klal Yisrael the continued suffering in galus because that has a purpose, that has a toelas, that I want them to be closer to tshuva. And the fact that I don't give up on them, I'm never miyayish and give up my relationship, but I continue to chase after them, even in galus, to keep them on track. That's the tafa, right? That's the ba'me'eda. The answer to ba'me'eda is the fact that Hashem is continuing even through galus. He still cares about Klal Yisrael enough that he punishes each and every yerida of Klal Yisrael to make sure that we don't fall to the level where we lose the relationship. Question?
If you want to go outside that answer, then what would happen if you only wanted to watch it smash on the ground? Then the one who breaks it at the bottom should be Chaya, because he didn't want to see it being smashed from the
right,
side.
Exactly.
He wanted to see it smashing from the ground. He's right.
No, because Basar Mikar, that's the whole thing. It's only because of Basar Mikar. It's not because it was Hefker, because we don't say Vedi Midas.
So there is no Basar
Mikar. No, Basar Mikar is a separate din. It's not ownerless, but there's a din that I'll pee Basar Mikar. Okay, that's for
all the comments. We said the verse is forever, the muggins forever. So Hashem wants to direct us to
exactly
what's going to happen if.
That's it. So that's the top. The top is that there is, no alternative. There is no alternative. Because Hashem will always give us the ownership that we need to put us back. Exactly. Okay. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. Amrali Rabbi Yoshua, im ein tzadi zayin amid beiz, im ein osin tshuva, ein nigal. Rabbi Elazar says that the Klal Yisrael needs to do tshuva in order to be nigal. So Rabbi Yoshua says, what? If they don't do tshuva, they won't be nigal. Ela kadosh baruch hu ma'amid lan melech shegzeros of kashrut kaman, v'Yisrael osin tshuva matzir l'mutav. Okay, so the Gemara says this nekuda, that there's a havtacha that there will. Klal Yisrael will eventually be chozer l'mutav. Why? Because if they're not, Hashem will bring punishments. He'll bring malchus to be meshaved them, and through the suffering of the galus, that will be matzir Klal Yisrael to mutav. So there's a tacha that there has to be a gula shlema in the end, because it can never happen that Klal Yisrael really goes completely off, because there's always this matzir l'mutav that the suffering of the Shibud Malchios is Matzer Klal Yisrael Lumuta. Okay, so that is the Yisod of the Havtacha, that's the Bamaida, that's the Yisod of the Havtacha. Now I just wanted to point out that L'chor L'filis Beis HaLevi, it comes out a new Havana in the Lashon, the Nusach of the Haggadah. The Haggadah brings this Parsha of Brisit Eina B'Sarim, and it follows it up with Behisha Amda. Right? Behisha Amda, Vavazinu V'lanu Shoah, Echad Bilma, Amenu L'inu Chalasinu, Elisha B'choldor V'adorim, Dilma L'inu Chalasinu. Right? V'akadosh Baruch Hu Matzil L'inu Miyadam. So the simple pshat that before should bring is that Behisha Amda is the Havtacha of the Brisbane of Asarim, that even though you're going to go to the Golos, I'm going to take you out of Golos, I'll take you out of Mitzrayim. That Havtacha applies to all the future Golos also. That's the simple reading of the Haggadah. But I'll be basically, there's a new Havana. The Vihisha Amda is Dafka, the Yerida to Mitzrayim. right? The answer to the question, but Ma'eda, the answer was that you're going to go to Mitzrayim. I'm going to punish Klal Yisrael, and I'm going to give them the Shibud Malchios, which is going to be Matzir and Mormuta. So the Vehisha Amda is the top of the Bris Meinam Sarim of this new Hanhaga that Hashem is always going to be Matzir and Mormuta al yidei the suffering of Shibud Malchios. Okay. Now I just want to add one last nekuda. There's a third base of Levi that is essential to understanding this picture, and that comes to explain what makes Klal Yisrael different. Why does Klal Yisrael have this special relationship that Hashem, if they go off the derech, that Hashem is mavzir them al yidei yisurin? Why doesn't Hashem do that with all the goyim?
Because of Avram.
So what?
Of course,
chosavos. They chosavos, but there's a deeper nekuda here. Okay, the nekuda is that the Gemara in the basically it brings the Gemara in Menachos that says that b'shash charef beis hamikdash matzah kadosh baruch hu ba'avram shaya omid b'beis hamikdash. Okay, so Avram came to the beis hamikdash when Hashem was destroying it. And he started pleading on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And he started making different tainas. Maybe there's shogeg. Maybe there's different. Maybe it's not all of Klal Yisrael. And Hashem showed him, no, that really Klal Yisrael deserves to be destroyed. So the Gemara goes on. It says, Miyad hiniach yado al rosho v'ayat soik u'bocha. That Avram Avinu was sitting and crying because he saw that he didn't have any taina that could save Klal Yisrael from the gzera of gulls. The Amar Lo is Shema Chas V'Shalom Ein Lam Takana. He says maybe this means that there's no Takana, that there's no salvation for Klal Yisrael. Yatza Basko the Amar Lo Zayis Ranan Yafet Pritoa. That Klal Yisrael is Nimshel to a Zayis Ranan, to a beautiful olive. Okay. Karashem Shivcha Ma'ay Zayis Zu Acharisa B'Sofa Av Yisrael Acharisa B'Sofa. Okay, what exactly this phrase means in the Gemara is a little bit tricky, but the way that the Beis Halevi explains it is like this. He says that Klal Yisrael is nimshal to an olive. He says, an olive, if you bite into an olive, anyone try it? It's terribly bitter. It tastes terribly bitter. Okay, but if you smash the olives and you squeeze out the oil, so then there's a sweetness to the oil. Okay, so it's edible. It's a chashem food. The oil that comes out of the zayis. So he says that when you make shemen zayis, you're not creating new shemen. The shemen was in the zayis, even though the zayis was bitter, but the shemen was the sweet shemen was inside there the whole time. So all you needed to do was smash it and beat it up, and you bring out the sweetness. So he says that Klal Yisrael is like a zayis. Let's start with the kash and the teretz. Avram was concerned. He says, wait a second. If Klal Yisrael deserves to go into galus, then maybe this is the end. Maybe there's no more schus for Klal Yisrael to have their relationship with Hashem. So, and Elamah, what are you going to do? You're going to be matzah them to tshuva. But if you bring suffering and they do tshuva out of suffering, Avram was chushish, maybe that doesn't count. Maybe if they're only doing it under duress, so that doesn't really count for anything. And therefore, they still don't have a schus. So comes along Hashem and he answers him. He says, no, Klal Yisrael is like a zayis. That when you beat them up and they do tshuva, that's bringing out the pneumius, the nekuda of kedusha that they had the whole time. And therefore, this whole mahalach, that when they go off the derech, that by bringing suffering, Hashem can bring them back, that only works for Klal Yisrael because their essence is pure. Because the essence is the zayis rana. But for goyim, once the goyim have gone off, even if Hashem would beat them up and give them suffering, and even if they would do tshuva, that still wouldn't be as chus for them to have a kiyum, because they're just doing it under duress. It's only by Klal Yisrael that they have this pneumius of kedusha. Therefore, this relationship that even when they're acting improperly and they need to be punished, so the punishment comes right away before it can sink into the real pneumius and destroy the kernel of good inside. And therefore, when they suffer and that brings them to tshuva, that tshuva is accepted because it's an expression of the real nekuda of pneumius. So that's the real Nakuda of Avram Avinu. That's what Avram, when the Maharal says the Avram was a Bechira Be'etzem, he was chosen Be'etzem, not because of his mice and not because of his Zechuyot, but because he established what we'll call the DNA of Kedusha that was going to be passed on to Klal Yisrael. And that Kedusha Be'etzem is something that ensures the constant rejuvenation of Klal Yisrael, that even if there's a generation that turns away from Hashem, that there's always a tikva, there's always hope, because Hashem is going to bring the suffering which is ma'orah them to tshuva, and that tshuva will be miskabel based on this mashal of the Zayis Ranan, based on the fact that it's bringing back the nikuna of kedusha which Klal Yisrael had the whole time. So that's the conversation of at the bris bein habasarim b'me'eda, that how do I know that this is going to be a permanent relationship, because Hashem sets up this relationship because Avram has established such a deep ingrained kedusha into Klal Yisrael, so there's always a tikkun by Hashem punishing the specific generation for their maisim. There's always the possibility of tshuva, and in the end we have this amtakla, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that in the end there has to be a gula shleima, because even if it comes to that, and it comes, obviously we prefer if everything goes smoothly and Klal Yisrael is closer to tshuva without suffering. But even if it needs to be all day suffering, that's still miskabel, and I shouldn't still accept taste Klal Yisrael back. And there always will be this, right? Like he told the tzedukim, that don't think that the Klal Yisrael was thrown out and left for Hefker. No, Yadun Netuya, that Hashem is still overseeing Klal Yisrael. He's still punishing for whatever we do wrong to make sure that in the end there will be a Chazar Lumutam, and that the Klal Yisrael will deserve the Gula Shleima.